Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Savior that would come from heaven and take them away. He was someone present with them, giving them this life, amen, inside. So that's why the scripture said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He said at the tomb of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Amen. The way, the truth, the life, the resurrection and the life. And we're to live our life in such a way others can see His life in us and that new life that He's given you and I. Amen. In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, we are to hold forth the word of life. And that's not get a big family Bible and pack it around all day, but to live the Christian life before this world. Hallelujah. Holding forth the word of life. Amen. The Bible said that we shine that way, that in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. For we are what? Again, the scripture said we are living epistles. Amen. We're not just letters on a page, but we're the living, animate portraits of Christ upon this earth. Can you say amen? Christian means Christ-like. And God wants us to begin to live in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel and in the newness of life. In parenthesis, I put recalling the before to better appreciate the after. Anybody ever saw any before and after pictures? They sell a lot of weight stuff because they got someone that weighs, 350 pounds and they get down to a svelte 148 pounds and you can't hardly believe the change that's come. And it is drastic and dramatic when someone can go from one size to a smaller size. And boy, the world gets excited over these fleshly changes that are made. I mean, it grabs their attention. There's big issue now over what's her name? Nicole Smith used to be a model and gained up real big and now is lost down again real small. And now she's back and everybody's just, oh, wow, wow, nothing probably has changed on the inside, but the outside has been changed. Well, you see, God is working differently in His church. He's changing us on the inside. But what He's changing on the inside, while physically we may remain the same, it's going to change the way we're perceived on the outside. People are going to see a difference in you and a difference in me. And it's that difference that's going to make them begin to be open to our testimony. If they don't see the difference, believe me, no matter how theologically correct you are, they're not open to your testimony. But if they see the difference that Jesus has made in your life, it begins to open them up to your testimony. It gives your testimony credence and credibility. Amen. So God wants us to begin to walk in the newness of life. And one of the best ways I know to do that is to remember where we were. Amen. And recognize where God has taken us to. There's been a drastic change in you and me, a radical change in you and me. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. How many know after a resurrection things ought to be different? Amen. Amen. It's a different life. Even Jesus was different. Did you say amen? He had a glorified body. Things had changed spiritually and supernaturally in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He didn't have a body you can kill on a cross anymore after He was raised from the dead. Now we haven't got that body yet, but we're going to get it. Did you say, man? He became the first fruit. But what it's saying is there was a radical change. We've been raised up with the same power, according to Romans 8, that raised Jesus from the dead. And the force that touched our life was no less powerful than that brought Him back to life. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're identified in His death, in that we were sinners and we were alienated from God. That's what baptism, water baptism is important, just like communion to the church, because it represents that we have been buried with Him so that we might be raised with Him. Can you say amen? And once we're raised with Him or born again or regenerated, we're to walk or to live in that newness of life. Everybody say newness of life. The New International says, we too may live a new life. I've been saved for 35 years. I've been counting it up, going on 36. When I first became a Christian, I remember singing, and Pamela will remember this, about our new life in Christ. And the name of the song was "I'm in a New World." And I just remember the chorus to it. "I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. I used to walk in paths so dim, oh, how I've changed since I met Him. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me." You see, when we got saved, amen, we got saved. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's what?
New
creature. Why? Because old things have passed away and everything has become new. We used to sing kind of a camp meeting song. Said, "Looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too." And it was talking about there was a difference when you got up from the altar. Amen. You were not in that old world of sin anymore. You were in a new world of righteousness. You are not in that old world of guilt and shame, but a new world, hallelujah, fellowship with God. Isn't that incredible? You are not in that old world with its old morals. You were in a new world with righteousness as your standard. Can you say, man, you had a new heart and you had a new life? Walking in the newness of life means living and behaving radically different from the old life. It means living a dynamic, power-filled life. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. Listen, folks, that's access to mighty, awesome, spiritual power in your life. Amen? Amen? And you will receive what after the Holy Ghost comes upon you? Power. Dunamis. And I don't mean dynamite or dynamo. I know they've used that dunamis as the root for dynamite and dynamo. This goes so far beyond dynamite. Listen, there's no dynamite in the world, no dynamo in the world that could create, amen, what God has created in the firmament with the words of His mouth. Hello? You can't compare that to dynamite. You don't have spiritual dynamite. You got something so far beyond dynamite, amen, eye has not seen, ears not heard, has never entered into your heart what God can do. Except He reveal it by His Spirit. Wow. Same power that created this universe has worked creatively in you. And it's worked creatively in me. The same power. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead has quickened your mortal body. Has given life in your mortal body. Can you say, man? That same powerful resurrection life in you and in me. Praise the Lord. What it really means, dunamis, doesn't mean dynamite or dynamo. It means supernatural ability. Everybody say supernatural ability. Supernatural. Well, supernatural ability taps into God Himself, doesn't it? Can you say amen? It means our resources are as infinite as God's power is. Amen. That we ought to be doing just a tad better on Sunday morning. We ought to be making it just a little better through the week. We ought not be cast down as often.
Amen.
Actually, we ought not be cast down at all. Amen. We are, but we ought not be. We don't have to be. Can you live in victory? Yes, we can. Praise God. Hallelujah. I couldn't ever get up from being knocked down if I didn't believe that I could live in victory. Can you say, man, I just go ahead and stay down. I mean, if you're going to get beat up again, why not just stay down? What's the point of getting up just to get knocked down again and get hurt in the process? Amen. Have you ever seen a boxer take a dive? I mean, he's just had it. They don't throw in the towel. They want him to keep fighting, but he's had enough. And he says, "I'm not answering the bell." And they said, "He didn't answer the bell." I think we've got a lot of Christians so discouraged, amen, they're not answering the bell anymore. Every time they answer the bell, they get knocked down, so why answer the bell anymore? Can you say, man? It's only going to get me beaten again, so why get up and go on? Well, listen, there's a newness of life, and it's a power-filled life. It's marked by an unshakable peace, unquenchable joy, and an undisputed victory. It means living large spiritually. Anybody ever heard the term, the contemporary term, living large? That means extravagant and bounty. Can you say, man, living large? God wants you to live large spiritually. He doesn't want us to be spiritual beggars. I know there's a story of a beggar, that a woman begging for a beggar at the gate. I know there's a story of a woman who said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, but that has nothing to do with you. Because you are not a beggar looking for crumbs from the bread that belong to the children. Something has changed since the cross. You have become the children of God and the sons of God. Can you say amen? And you have become Abraham's seed by faith. and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come on you Gentiles. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't come trying to get enough faith to get the crumbs. Listen, the crumbs brought a miracle to this woman. The recognition that if I just get, amen, this close to the covenant, just to get the leftovers of this covenant, I can get a miracle for my child. Hallelujah. And we are called to the table. Every time we take communion, we're not coming for the crumbs. We're coming for the bread that's set on that table for us. We're coming to eat the children's bread, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. It means living large spiritually, living a life of meaning and worth, a life filled with hope and holy anticipation. In order to appreciate and appropriate this new life in Christ, we need to compare it to our old spiritual condition. I know you. How many know that you were lost? How many were lost before you got saved? How many know you were lost?
Amen.
I want you to understand how God saw you then and how everyone else outside Christ, amen, is at this very moment. I want you to appreciate what you've got this morning instead of waiting for something else. God has much more for you, but He doesn't have anything as great as what you have received when you receive Jesus as your Savior. There's nothing that heaven can possibly offer you that in any way compares with the gift of God's Son to die on the cross for you and the grace that has come to you through His death. There's nothing, amen, no power gift, no manifestation, no revelation, amen, understanding and appreciating and appropriating what you have in Christ right now and beginning to walk in the newness of life, to live it out, flesh it out, praise God, is one of the greatest blessings. It is the, I take that back, it is the greatest blessing in Scripture. There's none greater anywhere. Can you say amen? There's none greater anywhere. Heaven, with all of its gold and silver, amen. If we didn't become more like Jesus, if our life couldn't become, if it was still the kind of life it is here, if we still fought with one another when we got there, if we were truce breakers when we got there, if friends still hurt each other when we got there, listen, folks, if your heart is broken, living in a golden mansion is not going to make a difference. Can you say amen? You can't enjoy streets of gold with a broken heart. You can't enjoy gates of pearl with a broken heart. You can't even enjoy eternal life with a broken heart because you've got to live forever with a broken heart. So God says before you enter into that fullness of eternity, I want to heal the brokenhearted here and now. And that's when you start living some heaven here on earth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. How many know God can heal the brokenhearted because of sin and because of circumstance? Look at the condition of the unsaved and of us, because He talks about us. Ephesians 2, chapter 1 through 3. It's an important verse of Scripture. All of our teaching this morning is going to come right out of here, and we're going to try to move quickly as we can. We may or may not finish, however. But this is important stuff. It's talking about you and me who have experienced this new life in Jesus. The word that is used in the old English language for get that new life is quickened. Everybody say quickened. To quicken means to make alive, to resurrect, to give new life. Amen. When Jesus comes, He's going to judge not only the people who are going to be raised, He's going to judge the living and the dead. They're going to be raised to condemnation or raised to life. But He's coming to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, and you hath He quickened. See, He didn't just forgive you and leave you in your circumstance. He gave you new life when He saved you. Everybody say, He gave me new life. Amen. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. What you're delivered from is so mighty today.
Amen.
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 We probably sit here without a deep appreciation of that, but you've been delivered from these things. Listen, you walked in time past, before you became a Christian, before you came to Christ, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Anywhere you see sin, anywhere you see the heinous things that are happening, that spirit had a hold of you at one time.
Amen.
You might not have went as far as some people have gone, but that same spirit, amen, that's operating in the worst of the worst in the world, had a hold of your life and held you in bondage and prison. And that world system did too. Among whom also, in other words, we were with them. But for the grace of God, when you see anyone doing anything in this world, but for the grace of God, not your wonderful piety or character, but for the grace of God, there go I. You don't know what you're capable of, and the devil is your father. Things you say you would never do, you may find yourself doing. If jealousy and hatred can get a grip strong enough on a man or woman's life, it can cause you to not only think about killing someone, but in a fit of rage to actually carry it out. Someone that people can't believe that they would do this. Not too long ago in our county, there was a deputy sheriff who killed his wife in a heated argument. A deputy sheriff that's supposed to keep us from hurting one another became the very person that someone needed to be protected from because of rage and anger. There's a God of this world, and he's murderous, and he's hateful, and he's evil. And they're trying to explain how people as intelligent as we've become in America, sophisticated we've come in America, can do so many depraved things, and the one thing they're leaving out, and they think it's all social. They think if you give a person the right social environment, give them enough money, amen, they won't do these terrible, heinous things. But what they're missing, and they have no experience to verify that, amen, some of the serial killers came out of good, godly homes with college backgrounds. Amen. There's evil in this world.
Amen.
And if we don't deal with the spiritual aspect and ramifications of our time. Sometimes I think that the Roman Catholic Church is more aware of the evil that exists. They believe in exorcism. We got Pentecostal churches that don't practice it, don't teach it, don't talk about it, because they got a businessman that might be offended if they see somebody barfing out a devil onto the floor. Thank you. Well, it might bother some of y'all too. Some of your friends may get up and run for the door. You ever heard the devil speak out of anybody? I used to go to A.A. meetings, and when people were being healed, some people had spiritual bondage in their life, and some beautiful young lady would come up, and I remember one young lady, she was about 19 years of age, and she was just beautiful. She looked like she was out of Cosmopolitan magazine, and she came up for prayer, amen, and she was so sweet and so kind. Her mother was there holding her by the hand, and she just seemed like a meek little lamb until he went to lay hands on her. And then all of a sudden, she snarled, and the voice changed to a grovel voice, and she began to speak. Well, she wasn't speaking, but Satan was speaking through her and saying, I will not come out. This is my house. I own this, and I will not come out. And he had to take authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. We're dealing with a spiritual realm we know exists, but we don't like to go there because it gets messy. Can you say amen? So the church would rather staff its church with a whole bunch of clinical psychologists than to deal with the devil. Amen. And a lot of problems psychologists can't handle because it's not just the psyche. Amen. There's a spiritual root to the problem. Can you say amen? And folks, we've got power given us from the Holy Spirit. Amen. To deal with these issues. Missionaries. Amen. The guy I was reading you about, the guy was telling about the things in Africa and dealing. He's talking about dealing with demonic spirits. He's not a Pentecostal. He's a Baptist man. But let me tell you something. Amen. Listen, Pentecostals, even if you're a missionary, it don't matter what background you are. If you get out there in the devil's territory and you see the witchcraft and you see the voodoo and you see that stuff, you realize real quick, amen, we're not in Kansas anymore. Can you say amen? You're not just going to deal with people in shirts and ties that's going to come to church on Sunday who worship the God of intelligentsia and education more than the God of miracles. Can you say amen? Who worship the God of medicine more than the God of healing. Nothing wrong with medicine and doctors. I'm just saying that there are things they cannot solve, and there's things that psychologists cannot solve. There are things that are supernatural that need a supernatural address, and only God can give that through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to go here. It's not part of my outline. But one thing about walking in the newness of life is you walk in a new positional authority in Jesus Christ, where you have power over the devil instead of him having power over you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's changing. And those missionaries are not intimidated. They are not afraid. They have found that the name of Jesus is mighty in battle to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. You don't even have to be Pentecost. There's not a missionary anywhere where there's witchcraft and voodoo and the black arts that doesn't hold high the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And utilize it in battle. Among whom all we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. I don't want to hear your stories. They're lurid. Everybody's got a story of before you came to Christ. and you gave in to your own fleshly desires, and only laws or consequences kept you from going further than you went. That's why if they took the laws away and the consequences away, like Satan wants to take the concept of God away, you take accountability away and the consequences away, and then sin will just go ahead and run its full measure. That's what happened under Nazi Germany. They took the consequences. They knew I can blow a man's head off. I can rape a woman. I can kill a child. There will be no consequences. And look where it took people. There's evil in this world. And we were by nature. In times past, we lived our life according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the unrenewed mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's why we can never speak in a condescending way to anyone that walks in here with all of those hang-ups and sins, because that's where we were before Christ saved us. Doesn't matter how far you went down that road, you were on that same road, and had not Christ intervened in your life, you would have been deeper down that road. And no telling where that road would have taken you. How many marriages would be shipwrecked and broken. How many lives would be destroyed. I honestly believe I would have been destroyed. My marriage wouldn't have lasted. We're celebrating, getting ready to celebrate our next anniversary, 41 years of marriage. And it's a testimony. They ask me at work, they say, are you married? Some people. They want to know some things about my personal walk. And I said, yes, I am. How long have you been married? I said, going on 41 years. I got a chance to say that Friday. Going on 41 years. And how old were you when you got married? 10? And I poured him a cup of coffee and bought him a honey bun. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Praise God. That was a compliment. Hallelujah. Amen. But it speaks. But I tell them quickly, the reason our marriage stayed together is because we both came to Christ. Amen. Jesus did it. Jesus held us together. The world is going to pull you apart, but Christ will keep you together if both of you serve the Lord. It's an opportunity to glorify God. They didn't have to ask me then how many wives I'd had or you know, all this kind of stuff, because they knew if you've been married 41 years, chances, and you're my age, chances are very good that you've got the same woman, that you haven't had three or four previous wives. Amen. In this past, you know, it's amazing how people think. They think if you're an independent preacher, you've got a problem. You've got some kind of real spiritual problem, skeleton in the closet. You can't hack it with the denomination, so you got to just go out there and start do your own thing. So I was preaching on radio, and I'd been preaching for about 6 months on WSOL down here in Tampa, first Christian radio station, half a day Christian, half a day Spanish, no Christian television, no Moody, no CIE, no FM channels, by the way. We didn't even have FM radio at the time, just AM in our area. And I was preaching on AM radio literally in the morning, sometimes by tape, a lot of times live in the studio. And the people were hearing me preach, and they were trying to figure me out because they couldn't attach me to a particular group except Pentecostal. Well, the Pentecostals had a problem with me because they said, is he Pentecostal? Because I had 15 minutes to preach Christ, and I didn't want to spend it speaking in tongues. Can you say, man, I'm sorry. I just felt like it'd be better if I just went ahead and preached Jesus, tried to lead somebody to the Lord or encourage somebody in the Lord. And they said, does he have the Holy Ghost? And the station manager knew my dad and sang at our church. And she's a lady that sang with a quartet. And she said, yes, he's spirit-filled man. He's full of the Holy Spirit. Well, I never heard him speak in tongues. I said, well, you need to go to his church sometime. Amen. Praise God. I didn't get on the radio to talk in tongues. I went over there talking English and tell people about Jesus. Can you say amen? Well, she had a problem with me. And then a pastor had a problem with me. Amen. His problem was, amen, I was preaching. He didn't find anything wrong with what I was preaching. But he asked the station manager, he said, whose wife did he run off with? She said, well, nobody's. He'd been married to the same girl since they were teenagers. Said, I know his dad. And they were disappointed, you know, because it's an amazing thing how the world operates. Hallelujah. Amen. The world they just want to put you in some kind of category. And I began to realize right then that I wasn't just up against the devil out in the world. Amen. I realized the devil goes to church too. Amen. But I'm not here trying to tell you about my glaring, wonderful, pristine character. I'm telling you that God is a keeping God. I'm telling you, praise God, that my faith is not in a denominational reputation. My faith is in Jesus Christ and His righteousness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, regardless of your denominational background, it better end up being about Jesus before it's over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus saved. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus keeps. Jesus counsels. Jesus sets free. You can sum up my life of victory in one word, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And if you love Jesus, you're going to be all right too. Let's look at five, or at least four. Let's look at four for time's sake. Four conditions of human beings whose life God has not yet intervened. People living without grace. Number one, and it included us at one time. We, so I'm going to include us with it. We were spiritually dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Looked up in the Greek dictionary, the word Paul uses here that we translate dead. That's what it means in the Greek, the actual Greek. It means dead. Isn't that incredible? It doesn't mean anything but what it says. Dead. Not sick. Not wounded. Not temporarily incapacitated. It's amazing what I've heard people preach. That you're just incomplete. In other words, you're alive and you're pretty well, but you're not as well as you could be if you accepted Jesus. No, the Bible said you're not well. You're not even alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. God couldn't accept you. God couldn't give you the time of day. God couldn't involve himself with you. Your sins had separated between you and your God. Can you say amen? We were not weak or in a spiritual coma. God checks us. He makes the diagnosis and he says you were dead. In the Bible, the word life is often used to express a human being's union with God. Isn't that incredible? I'm the vine and you're what? Jesus said, the branches. Meaning that when we are in union with God, our Creator, we have life. In contrast, the word death often implies the idea of being separated from our Creator God. If you're separated from God, you are dead. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, the lie that the devil told? Because he said, you know, the day you eat of this, God said, if you eat of this fruit, the day you do it, not 10 days later, 30 days later, 30 years later, the day you do it, you're going to die. But it was a different kind of death, wasn't it? It wasn't an immediate physical death, though it resulted in physical death. Because there wasn't even physical death. But it didn't start in the physical, it started in the spiritual. And Satan said, lying to them, you won't surely die. And they believed his lie. And they ate of the tree, and guess what? They didn't drop dead, but they died. Can you say amen? They died. Spiritual death entered this world. God and man that walked in harmony couldn't walk in harmony anymore. Spiritual death. So you can see that death and this disharmony, this alienation from God go hand in hand. Spiritual death means you're alienated from God. God can't have fellowship with you. You have needs. You can cry out to a God that cannot legitimately answer you. Because he can't come into a relationship with you. You're dead, but he has given you life. And I want you to understand, this is not just power coming into you. This is a new relationship coming to you. That life came through a relationship. That's why the Bible said we've got to know Christ. We can't just get this thing without coming into a relationship with him. That's why the issue was not claiming him, but him saying, I know you. I'm in relationship with you. The alienation is gone. The enmity is gone. Can you say amen? Many were saying that they know him, but that's not the issue. He's got to qualify this himself. Can you say amen? Many will say, Lord, Lord. And he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I know you not. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. You can't just go to church. You just can't have a priest do your praying. I'm sorry. I wish some of these things were different so that more people could go to heaven. But you can go to heaven if you'll come through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Man-made religion can't save because you're dead and God is the one that you have the problem with. And the mediator between God and man is Christ. Thank God there is a mediator. Everybody say there's a go-between. Hallelujah. The problem is that we've been alienated from God as a result of our sinful condition. The solution is reconciliation through Christ's vicarious death on the cross. Vicarious means he took your place. Aren't you glad Jesus took your place? Because he took your place, he took your punishment. Colossians 1, 20 through 22 says, and having made, here's that problem solved. Everybody say the problem is going to get solved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this problem can be solved? that you can be given life who were dead as far as God is concerned in trespasses and sin? And having made peace, oh, by the way, it started in Genesis. Before we ever got into the new covenant, it started in Genesis. First thing God did, they were naked and they were aware now. Condemnation come in. They were aware of their condition. They were ashamed to stand before God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They lost their innocence. At first they were naked and they were not ashamed. Completely open and honest with one another. Can you say amen? But when sin comes, we close off. We close in. Shame comes in and guilt comes in. And we close off. And were secretive, and they hid themselves from God. And the beginning of God's salvation plan, the first foreshadow, is in Genesis. Amen? Because God brings the skin of an animal to cover their nakedness with, so they wouldn't be ashamed in His presence. He brought a covering for them. And in order to bring the covering, the first blood that was shed on planet Earth was God slaying an animal to take its skin. Amen, to cover them with. And it established something, didn't it? It established that a covenant has been broken. A spiritual death has entered in. But now God is already working a solution in type and foreshadow. Because He's through the shed blood of something else, a covering is being brought for man. Praise God. The innocent blood was shed so that a guilty man could be covered. And that's exactly what happened on Calvary. Innocent blood was shed of a lamb without spot or blemish, that men and women may be covered. The nakedness and the shame of their sin might be covered by the righteousness of God. What a gift you've got this morning. That's where you were. But here's where you are. Everybody that's been saved, literally born again, and you know that you have, raise your hand. Let me tell you something. And you, personally, hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, Colossians 1, 20 through 22, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. Oh, listen to this. To present you holy. Not, you can't present yourself, but God said, I can do this through what I provided. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Honey. That's not just reconciliation with all that junk that causes Him to look hard upon you. That is reconciliation with a brand new clean slate, a brand new fresh start, a brand new life in Jesus Christ. No matter what your past was, praise God, you have been presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Not in the world's sight, not in some of your crazy family's sight. They'll never believe that, amen, that they'll always find fault with you. But the one that matters the most, everybody say the one that matters the most. You know what God has called it? The Bible said, number one, there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him whom we have to do. So He looks right down into everything that's wrong with us and everything that's right with us. There's nothing hid, can you say, amen? And He looks different than we look on people. He's so holy. The Bible said He dwells in the New Testament in light that cannot be approached. He's so holy and pure that He lives in unapproachable light. Amen. And yet you have a standing through the blood of Christ that He looks upon you that dwells in this kind of light. And He sees you after the application of that blood holy. Am I reading from the right? Unblameable and unreprovable in His piercing eyes, His holy eyes, He sees you that way. And you ought to, oh, put on your shouting shoes and thank God that God can look at you that way. And you have to be presented by the blood of Christ that way and by the covering of His righteous robe, because there's no way your religious flesh, no matter how wonderful, could ever be presented to God that way. Your righteousness is as a filthy rag before Him. That's how He views man's best attempt. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus. I was dead. Say it, I was dead. But I'm alive in Christ. Hallelujah. Reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you think Lazarus must have felt pretty good when he came out of that tomb? Amen. Don't you think after he come out of that tomb and he's there in his grave clothes and they started unwrapping him? Amen. I believe when he got his arm loose, he started going like that. Got a leg loose, he started going like that. I hate to think what would happen if they got the whole body loosed from that kind of condition. Praise God, from the grave to new life in Jesus. Hallelujah. And they wonder why we shout sometimes.
Yeah.
Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. That's when you pass from death, which means alienation from God, to life, which means fellowship with God. Amen. Not just power to live forever, but a person that accepts you in the beloved. Can you say amen? We've been given new life in Christ. We've been set free from sin and death. We've been reconciled to God. He looks at us differently. Somebody say, I'll say He does. Doesn't He? Did it say in His sight? His sight? That's what's so amazing about this. We're talking about not someone that thinks you're pretty good, but someone that knows you're not. But He sees you this way because the blood has been applied. And His robe has been put. Actually, He can't see you any other way, because if you've got on His robe, He's got to see you that way. And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Well, if we don't have ours, whose do we have? It's got to be Christ. Can you say amen? It's either yours or His. Come on, you cannot claim it. The day you claim it, you make null and void the blood of Jesus. He's going to take grace to save you. He's going to take grace to keep you. Amen. I'm a product of the grace of God. I'm living victorious over sin, not because I have become sterling in character, but grace is sustaining me. When I do sin, I repent, praise God, and I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I get up and I run on for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're looking for sinless perfection, forget it. You won't have it in this world. That's not license to sin either. It's just saying there's different kinds and levels and degrees of sin. But no one, anyone who says I don't have any is a liar, the scripture says. So you'll just have to read 1 John and argue with that. God says He's true, you're wrong. Hallelujah. He deals away with our piety, our self-righteousness, our self-exaltation. And we're reminded right here, this is our condition before Jesus came into our heart and into our life. But thank God Jesus has come in and our condition has changed because our position has changed in His sight. That we may be presented to Him in a way we could never present ourselves through the blood of Christ. Isn't that good? This new life is not just the infusion. Oh, let me read Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ who walk. See, this is why we're to walk in the newness of life. You don't walk after the flesh anymore. You start walking after the newness of life. Amen. You don't just get rid of guilt by just getting a one-time fix from heaven. You just start living for Christ.
Yes.
Amen. You don't live under condemnation because living for Christ doesn't mean you don't stumble. It means that you don't live habitually in sin anymore.
Yeah.
You walk after the Spirit. Not after the flesh anymore. You're not debtors to the flesh to fulfill it in the lust. It's still there. It's still going to pull you. But you don't owe it anything. And I don't owe it anything. Hallelujah. Greatest buffer against the flesh is get so satisfied in Jesus. That's why the casual church member can't walk in the newness of life. They can't walk it out when they walk out the door. Because they don't get fulfilled in Christ. And their flesh is longing. And they go out to fulfill that longing in a sinful way. And they're never satisfied. The worst people you'll ever meet are people that know that they ought not be doing what they're doing, but they're doing it trying to fulfill a longing anyway.
Amen. Come on.
I see them on Sunday, and I'm looking all over the building, so you probably think I'm looking right at you. But I see them on Sunday. I can tell you how you've been living through the week, because there's a guilt complex. There's a condemnation. I'm sitting here in a holy place, and I sure haven't been a holy person, and now it's come home. Now I've got to face it. Amen. I can turn up the loud music. I can fool around with my friends. I can watch television, go to the movies, do whatever I want. But when I'm in church, I'm suddenly faced with the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to be walking in the newness of life. I'm finding my fulfillment in Christ and praise and worship and His Word. Those things the world thinks is stupid and boring. That's why worldly Christians want a church that it's on, it's entertaining, it's high impact, and it's over. The idea is get it on and get it over so I can get out of here and do something to fulfill my longings. But when your longings are for Jesus, it changes. When your longings are for heaven, it changes. When your longings are for the things of the Spirit of God, it changes. And that's why church has to quit trying to accommodate worldly Christians and start challenging them. Amen. That we have something you need. You need this longing. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. See how life and death are associated with fellowship with God or being alienated from Him. This new life is not just the infusion of spiritual power, but the establishment of a new relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Nothing hid from the eyes of Him whom we have to do, and yet through the blood of Jesus, we've been so reconciled to Him that in His sight, we are unblameable and unreprovable. Now is the accuser of our brethren that came to blame us and reprove us, cast down, that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him, not by becoming to the place that he couldn't find anything against them, but by the application of the blood of Jesus through repentance and confession. What happens? We become unreprovable and unblameable in his sight. What sins are you talking about? The day after you confess and repent in genuine repentance, amen, if you tried to ask God about him, he said, I don't know what in the world you are talking about. Their sins I will remember no more. I'll cast them away from them. I'll disassociate them from them as far as the east is from the west. And I won't remember them anymore. You're blessed people to pass from death to this life. Hallelujah. We cannot come to God through perfect obedience because man can't render it. We cannot come to God through imperfect obedience because God can't accept it. He's too holy. The answer to man's dilemma is the cross of Jesus Christ. Everybody say the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, we were saved, slaves to the world system. Everybody say slaves to the world system. Not only were we dead to God, we were slaves to the world. It says, you at the are quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. The current of this world, like a river, takes a course. This world is taking a course, and you walked according. You went along with it. That's why it's more difficult now sometimes, because now you're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. World's not your friend anymore. Amen. Being spiritually dead is only the beginning, because in addition, we were slaves to the world. In verse 2, Paul also says that our trespasses and sins cause us to walk according to the course of this world. That's interesting. What does Paul mean by the course of this world? It's as if there was a stream of society and of culture according to our trespasses and sins. In other words, that's what set this world system in motion. The world, Paul means, is the one that is anti-God and Christless. The world is bound in time and history, and we are born into it. Because this is where we are born, we live and walk according to the direction, the spirit, the environment, the goals, and the thinking of this Christless world system. At birth, we're snared in it. If you have any questions about the system, a good place to look and while holding that place is Psalm 2, 1 and 3. I want to read it to you. It says, why are the nations in an uproar? Watch this. This is the thinking of the world. The nations are in an uproar. The writer of this ancient text could have been watching CNN news, couldn't he? Nothing's really changed in that system. There's no change today. All the peoples, it says, devising a vain thing. The kingdoms of the world take their stand, and the rulers take their counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. And this is what they say. Let us tear their fetters apart. Who? The Lord. And His anointed. And cast their cords from us. This is what the world is like. No one wants any constraints. They don't want to hear that God puts restrictions on us. They want to tear their fetters off and cast their cords from them. They don't want God's law. They want it out of the courthouse, out of the schoolhouse, out of public view. Put it in a church, but behind the door, inside. Get it out of the public arena. They don't want His anointed, who is Christ, as Lord over their lives. They reject him. The king of the earth. The kings of the earth want to use all their power and wisdom against God and against His anointed. The world system into which we are born and is moving in an antichrist direction so that we are spiritually dead and slaves to the world system. That's why the Bible said don't love the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why the Bible said, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. The Bible also said that's like a badge of authenticity on your life. Because, praise God, if the world love you, the world loves its own. But if the world hates you, then you're identified with me. Can you say amen? And if the world don't hate you yet, it's going to. It does and you just don't know it. You said, am I going to have to give up my worldly friends if I come to Christ? No, really live for Christ. They'll give you up.
Amen.
John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the Amplified New Testament it said, I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. Can you say, man? We used to sing, take this whole world. But give me Jesus, I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
Hallelujah.
Walking in the newness of life means that we have a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that through our new standing with God, we have complete victory over the world system. Hallelujah. Who is he that overcomes the world? John, 1 John says, he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because that brings you into the kingdom. And when you get in the kingdom, your values change. Can you say, man, you can't be in this kingdom and hold those old values. When you really get in the kingdom, you find a pearl of great price and it's worth more than anything in the world and you sell all that you have. And people think you're sacrificing when in fact you're possessing something far greater and far better. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me this morning. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, he sells everything that he might possess it. And they think you're radical, fanatical, and stupid. And yet you are possessing something that is far above the price of pearls and rubies. Hallelujah. I have eternal life. I have joy. I have peace. I have power from God. Hallelujah. I can overcome the world because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Our faith in what? Christ, who is the Son of God. Not just our faith to tell devils no, but our faith in the God that gave His Son for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all of us have that faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many people here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you have everything you need to overcome this world because you've been brought into God's kingdom, translated out of the powers of darkness. The Holy Spirit has come to live within you. And you have authority over the devil. Hallelujah. And you have, but greater than authority over the devil is authority over your flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the greatest authority you have over Satan is authority over your own flesh. You can't tell him to get behind you as long as you're following him around. Hello? Victory over self is the first thing. That means you bow to Jesus and you let him be the Lord of your life. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Enslaved by the world system and spiritually blind and under satanic influence. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they receive the glory of the gospel and repent. That's where you were. You were illuminated. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, after you were illuminated, you fought a great fight of afflictions. How many found out when you got saved it didn't solve all your problems?
Amen.
In fact, there might be some new ones crop up now. Amen? You fought a what kind of a fight? A great fight. Honey, it wasn't a little deal. You had trouble with family members that you were getting along with before. But when you became a Christian, suddenly they got antsy. They got, where you bothered them. They didn't know what it was about you that bothered them. But you just bothered them. Hello? I heard a story told by the head of the Foursquare Church at a convention. Amen. That's what. And he told the story of a man named John. He was out plowing in his field. All the things went wrong in John's life. Everything went wrong. Every time he turned around, something went wrong. He's plowing in the field. It rained a lot, and the tractor was kind of soggy. And his old tractor started to tilt and went over. Amen. He went over with it. He was pinned under the tractor. It didn't hurt him, but it just mashed him down in the mud till just his head was sticking out from under the tractor in the mud. The mud was so soft it didn't hurt him, but he was mashed down there. And he's looking up into the heavens. He's staring up into the heavens. And he said, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. All the bad things just happened to me. Why? Why me, Lord? Why me? And the voice comes out of heaven and said, I don't know, John. There's just something about you that just ticks me off. Well, I'm here to tell you something. There's nothing about you that just ticks God off.
Thank you, Father.
Even in the worst of your sin, God loved you. And gave His Son to die for you and commended His love for you, that while you were yet in your sins, Christ died for you. You may feel like that you're getting the bad end of the deal sometime, but I'm telling you, you are divinely loved, hallelujah, divinely destined and divinely delivered. Amen. God is a good God. God is a gracious God. God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. And He's available to you and He's available to me. Amen. Available to you and available to me. And to anybody else that'll call on Him. I'm glad that He doesn't single us out because something about us bothers Him. I'm glad He loves us. I'm glad that Jesus came to die for us. We were spiritually blind under satanic influence, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That means the personality, the entity that had influence over your life was the same that's out here in the serial killers, the same that's out here in the child molesters. It wasn't no different spirit. You might not have done those things, but the same spirit that caused you to have a rebel heart is the same spirit that works in all the children of disobedience, every sinner on this planet. Now, in our society, it seems kind of fairy-tale-ish to even say the word devil, doesn't it? We don't want to talk about the devil. We don't want to acknowledge that he exists or evil exists anymore. We don't want to think or talk about the possibility of Satan, but this is serious. This is Scripture. There's a personality, a spirit being who is named Satan, and he's called the prince, which means he rules over others. He has some power and authority. He gives orders. He directs affairs. He plans strategies. He exerts power. He is also the power of the air, which means for the most part that he's not of this world. He's not material. He's a spirit being. Still, he is present influencing people. And that influence is here on this planet. And that's not a fairy tale or a myth. That's for real. That's for real. Your adversary, the devil, the Bible said, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Paul said, we would have come to you sooner. But circumstances that kept them from it, they said there's something behind the circumstances influencing people to oppose us. But Satan hath hindered us. How many found out when you go to pray, hindrances come? Hear a message on love, somebody's going to try to stimulate you to anger immediately after the message on love. You just about guarantee it. The more I preach on love, the more I look for somebody to act crazy. At work or church or somewhere. Can you say, man? Just to put me to the test of my love message. And it ain't God making them act crazy either. Amen. Come on, it ain't God. He's not the one doing that. He tempteth no man with evil. No, this is coming from the pit. God can use it, though, amen, to find out where I really am. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, the more I preach on love and unity, the more Christians have to not give place to the devil.
Amen.
So that we can have that. There's a real enemy. This spirit being is vitally involved in the course of this world. He and those under him, his cohorts, all the evil spirits are working against us, working in and around us, moving us in the direction that the devil wants. Paul said the devil is now working, right now working. This is present reality. It was true for Paul and it's true for us. The Bible said, for our struggle in the now is not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. Every blue day is not chemical. Every depression is not due to some problem, amen, that needs a pill to solve it. There's an enemy in this world. Can you say amen? There's an oppressor in this world. Can you say amen? And Jesus went about doing how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'm telling you, a day is coming when God's people are going to find out that there is a devil, but there is a mighty Jesus that's come to overcome it, living on the inside of them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And we're not going to need Prozac, and we're not going to need Valium, and we're not going to need Xanax, because we've got real new life in Christ. And that involves fulfillment and victory over the evil one and the world system that tries to get us down. Hallelujah. In this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. What we're doing at church today is to get the kind of joy down in us through a revelation of what we were and what we are, that whatever happens outside of the kingdom and outside of the Holy Spirit can't get us down and keep us down any longer. Hallelujah. Satan is working, and he's working against us. And he's working in the sons of disobedience. He fosters rebellion in their hearts against God. It's interesting that he does not say the sons of ignorance, but the children are sons of disobedience. No one goes to hell because they're ignorant. People go to hell because they're rebels. Our spiritual condition before salvation is spiritually dead, enslaved by the world, influenced by Satan, rebels in our heart. Look at John 8. Jesus talked about this, and we've got to hurry and close. 43 through 45. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, why won't you listen to me, Jesus says. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Because you are of your father, the devil. You're under his influence. Listen. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Lady came to our church. You know her. Pam was in communication with her recently. She's still one of the greatest testimonies of this ministry, a conversion. It rivals any conversion I've ever heard of Annette. She came to church. We called her Stick Lady, Black Lady, 6'1". She weighed about 98 pounds. She was dying with female cancer. She was a cocaine addict. She had lost her children. They took the man she was living with, who was a dope peddler, and they put him in prison and left her with this terrible addiction, several hundred dollar a day addiction, and no way of getting the money because of her health condition to try to fulfill it. She couldn't even be a criminal and get it because she was weak. She was going to kill herself because there's no way to live in this horrible, terrible, sin-filled condition. So she came to church with her sister Marlena. She heard a gospel message on a Sunday morning. She came and accepted the challenge of Jesus to change her life. He changed her life. He set her free from crack cocaine addiction without any kind of withdrawal. She came back a week later with a cancer problem, and God healed her a week later of cancer. She said, I wasn't there, but she said, I went down in the basement and passed the cancer, amen, in the ladies' bathroom, amen. All I know today, she's married to a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she is a cancer-free woman, amen. That pretty well speaks for itself, amen. She also became rehabilitated, reformed, if you please. She became, amen, got a job in a professional office. The Tampa Tribune went out and did an entire story on her. The Tampa Tribune did a story on her, and it was printed. And they talked to her about an hour and a half, and she told them all about how Jesus had changed her life. And they wrote it up. And when they edited and wrote it up, guess what? They told about her living in the gutter and coming where she's coming, all the things about how you can make it and you can get out of your dilemma, but they didn't, and made her mad. She could bite nails, didn't mention one word about Jesus or her Christian conversion. Because the world is the world is the world is the world is the world, and that CNN and everybody else, and blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walketh in the way of the scornful, nor sitteth in the seat of sinners, but his delight. There's an old guy that, even after outlawed killing mules, you know, he'd still He said, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. Anyway, moving right along. Hallelujah. Amen. Now walketh in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law the delight day and night. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, this is a different gospel for a new creation people that's going to live in a new moral system. Hallelujah. That's not of this world. The world is not interested in telling what Jesus did for anybody. Can you say amen? They're interested in telling you what you can do for yourself. This woman couldn't deliver herself. She had a deliverer, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Dr. Phil couldn't set her free. Oprah had never had a guest that could set her free. Jesus is the only one, but he can do it for anybody. Hallelujah. The truth is not in him. The New International said you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. There's a bent in you to evil. I like the Amplified. Why do you misunderstand what I say? Christ said. It's because you're unable to hear what I'm saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. I've had them in my church. Have you encountered those people? You're of your father, the devil. And it's your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of falsehood, he speaks of what is natural to him, for he's a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. But because I speak truth, you do not believe me, do not trust me, do not rely on me, and do not adhere to me. That's why so many people resist the gospel. That's why so many people resist you when you try to tell them about Christ. To walk in the newness of life is to live according to the new nature within, to listen to Jesus' word, free from Satan's influence. Ephesians 4:17 through 19, as we hurry to a closing, says, therefore I say, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. You understand their condition? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the world we're living in right now. That's why we're seeing the moral decay. That's why we're seeing all the stops pulled out. That's why we're seeing man becoming more decadent. And the last thing was, and we're not to walk like that. Next time you, my son, don't let your heart envy sinners. I don't care how much wealth, how much fame they gather around themselves. They're in this terrible condition. Amen. They're dead in trespasses and sin. They're bound by Satan and blinded by him. They're alienated from God. They're a slave of the world system. They're not free people. They're a slave to the world. And the fourth thing that we were and we're not anymore, we were destined for destruction. We were by nature, the scripture said, the children of wrath. Look again at 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3. We meet among them also we formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulged in the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. What could be worse? What's worse than all of this is that we could get the end of our lives here on earth and find out after all this emptiness and all the heartache that they're going to find, and going to find out that now they face the judgment, condemned, after all of this is over. Paul is telling us what God thinks of our condition, your condition, mine, without grace. You lived in your sins and trespasses. You rebelled against the holy God. He must punish all lawbreakers, and he intends to do it. The punishment because of his holiness and the gravity of our rebellion is eternal. Wrath, we are told, is the steadily burning indignation of a holy God toward a rebel. It is deliberate, and it is deserved. It is righteous, not like our wrath. This wrath is the just sentence against a sinful human being. Furthermore, there will be no plea bargaining, no dream team, no smart lawyer that we can get to argue our case. However, there is an advocate, and his name is Jesus. We all know that, of course, today there's always a possibility of a plea bargain. Listen, there'll be no plea bargaining with God. There'll be no appeal. There'll be no way you can work a deal for a lighter sentence. None of that. It's straight, sharp justice. It's called hell. Everybody say H-E-L-L, double hockey sticks, they used to call it. They don't mind saying the word now. It's not H-E double hockey sticks anymore. And it's not a fun thing anymore. This is the destiny. This was our destiny. This is where you were going to spend eternity before you came to Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me to want to shout this morning. A lot of people don't like me this morning. Oh, don't look at me so strange. There's a lot of people don't like you either. Amen. And don't feel so sorry for yourself, because there's a lot of people didn't even like Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But God loves you. Yes. And Christ has saved you. Yes. And you have a reason to rejoice this morning. Hallelujah. Hell is what we deserve. It's what I deserve. When God puts his stethoscope to our soul and diagnoses us, he sees that we are spiritually dead, enslaved by the world, supernaturally bound by Satan, personally enslaved, and supremely condemned. His diagnosis is very different from the way we want to diagnose ourselves. Not pleasant, not good news, but it's exactly what the Word of God says. Can you say amen? We were, as the Scripture declares, without God and without hope in this world. That's what being lost means. But if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're no longer in that terrible condition. I love 4 and 5 because it just lifts it up. The next two verses. It says, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin and all the rest of that junk, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Hallelujah.
By grace ye are saved. Everybody say, isn't grace good?
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Look what you've been delivered from because of his great love wherewith he loved you, extended to you in the form of grace and mercy. Neither the heinousness of our sin nor the hatefulness of our heart could keep God from loving us enough to send his Son to die for us, to deliver us, and to save us. Walking in the newness of life means living in the joy of our salvation. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
I was coming down the road this morning, and I usually have one good shout. I just want to be in such, I'm not working it up. I'm not trying to work myself up. I just want to be in the Lord enough that I have a shout of praise in my heart before I come here to preach. Amen. I don't care what the subject I'm preaching on. I come in here with a shout of praise in my heart. That's why Israel couldn't be defeated, because there was a shout of a king among them.
Amen.
Can you say, man? And it wasn't just the king shouting. It's the people shouting because they had such a king as God to defend them. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. But I had about 3 or 4 of those good shouts this morning on the way. I mean those haul off and holler, joyous, can't be expressed in any language but a hoot. I think I'm going to get me a bumper sticker to counteract the other ones I saw. Life is a hoot, and then you die. Can you say amen? Would you buy one of those? No, you wouldn't. You're not crazy as me. Praise God. But I had a heavenly good time on the way to church this morning, just rejoicing in the fact that I have been delivered from all of this junk that I just read to you. This is all in the past. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That, whoa, glory be to God. What a privilege it is to be saved. I don't know how much money you got, but if you're saved, you're rich. I don't know if your old car is good or not, but if you're saved, you're rich. I don't know if you got your clothes at Kmart or Dillard's, but if you're saved, you're rich. Hallelujah. I don't know if you got a Timex or a Rolex, but if you're saved, you're rich. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're fat Rolex. Yeah, I was thinking about Electrolux. Anyway, moving right along. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm in here with regal people this morning. I want you to live for Jesus. Walk in the newness of life. You're not a debtor to the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. You have authority over Satan. You have the power to overcome this present world. Hallelujah. You belong to God. And I'll take you through this world, and I'll take you through the powers and principalities. I will deliver you from the prince of the power of the air. I will keep you. I will keep you. I will keep you, saith God, and hold you close to myself, and nothing shall in any wise harm thee. Yea, is it not written, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm thee? You live in a world full of deadly things, but it will not come nigh thee, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand to our feet and get ready to worship today. Walking in the newness of life means living in the joy of our salvation. Every moment, no matter what happens between here and heaven, we are saved. God is with us here, and we will be with Him in heaven forever and forever.
Oh,
This is for the tape. Has God's grace broken into your life? Have you experienced a change from death to life? Have you known new life in Christ? Have you said that all of your religious rites and all of your religious duties and all of your morality mean nothing? Cast yourself on Christ and Christ alone. When Jesus went to the cross, the wrath you deserve fell on Him instead of you. It was yours, but it fell on Him. Christ did that because of His love for you. He did it out of love for His Father to complete the Father's plan to bless you. He took your sin, died and rose again. Now He calls, "Come unto Me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The resurrected One has taken care of your sins and says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." Come to Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus if you haven't done it already. You'll have a new life. You can rest because you won't be trying to change your spiritual deadness by yourself. You'll receive forgiveness and new life. Don't delay. It's all waiting for you in Jesus Christ. That's for the tape today. How many Christians we have in this room? The Bible said if we've been buried with Him, and we have, then we have been also raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. There's revival.